Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of family, that we know no matter what we go through, there will be somebody there who will have our back. Lord, not many people have this, and we thank you for gathering us together. Please make it real amongst us, O Lord, that our love for one another will not be just in what we profess with our words. Let it be a reality that we would love one another deeply, not a fake one, but a genuine one. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've been teaching us over the past few weeks to few months now. Truly, your words are life, and they are meaningful to us. We pray that these things that we learn, we put them to practice, O Lord, and not just be hearers alone. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So over the last few weeks, few months, I don't need to remind us the beautiful things we have been learning and also knowing that in the formation of our Christian character, one thing Reverend Oshet, when he came, that he taught us was that though by the Holy Spirit, we have both character and charisma. Charisma being the gifts of the Spirit, both spiritual gifts and that which we use in the marketplace. Knowing that our character is way more important than our charisma. Our character is way more important than our charisma. There are many people who are gifted by God, who God will use no matter what their character is. But I always profess that, Lord, don't use me despite myself or in spite of myself. That means that, you know, I can be doing anyhow, but because God's gift is on me, I think that, oh, whatever I do is all right. No. Use me in your will. That is my prayer. And I pray that that will be the prayer of each and every one of us. Now, today is another day where we're going to learn something about the virtues of a Christian. You know, we know a Christian is one. Last week, what did we learn about a Christian? Gives alms. You know, we learned that in Matthew chapter 6. Where the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. And we looked at the difference between if and when. So for us, prayer is not an if, it's a when, because it is expected of you as a Christian to pray. Fasting is not an if, it's a when. It's expected of us to fast. And in that same passage, we learned about almsgiving. It is expected of us to give alms, not an if. It is a when we give alms. This is how we are supposed to do it. We learned about the centurion, the Roman centurion, who had been doing what? He had been praying and giving alms. And a day came when an angel appeared to that centurion and said that, your almsgiving and your prayers have come up before God as a memorial. And that day, God changed his life around because that was the first Gentile that received the Holy Spirit. God met with him. You know, the beauty about the dealings we have with God is that many times we as Christians, we get tired and we fall alongside the way. Not knowing that there is a set time when God does his things. We can't command God to do or to answer us when we need him to answer us. God will answer us in his time. But when he answers us, there is always something different about it. There's always a life-changing experience. He doesn't come every time. But once he comes, your life will not remain the same. Now, there is an exercise I want to do amongst us just before I share the word this morning. It's nothing original to me. It's something I saw on the internet. But it was impactful to me as a Christian because there was something about it that changed me. Okay, Brother Kimoy, Let me ask you a question. If I were to give you $100 or $1,000, which one would you be more grateful for? Okay, I know you. Your wife, you say the same? So if I give you one penny and $1,000, it's the same to you. Yeah? No, I want to put it down. Okay, so if I give you $1 and $1,000,000, there's no difference. Okay. See, I'm surprised you're not in politics. Okay. Yeah. So, would you be equally thankful for both, or you'd be more thankful for one than the other?
I didn't have to work for it.
Okay.
As I said.
Okay.
It's about the individual.
Okay. All right. So for me, if you give me $1, I might say, oh, thank you. If you give me $1,000,000, I will say more than thank you. That's for me. I will say more than thank you. You know, my thank will be different. Yeah, he would. Yes. That I say for me. For him, you know, he's very calm, you know. Please, they need the mic for him. Okay.
I have a relationship with Brother Bumi. So whether or not he gives me $1,000,000 or $1, it would make a difference to me. There must be a reason as to why.
And I can testify to that because that is who he is. That is who he is.
Well, you know, when you said, I have $1,000,000 or $1, if you want to give me $1, keep your $1. And keep your $1,000,000. Don't know where it's coming from.
All right. So let me ask you another question. If I had to give you $1,000,000, it's a lot of money, right? And say that you can't wake up tomorrow. You asked me to keep my $1,000,000, but it's $1,000,000. Yeah.
What's the purpose of $1,000,000? What's the use of it if I can't wake up?
But it's worth a lot.
Yeah, but it's not worth more than.
Okay.
It's worth a lot. It's a
yeah,
lot.
But I could still live and probably earn. All right. Since I've been working,
yeah.
I guaranteed I've earned $1,000,000, no matter how many tax I paid, how many bills I paid. So the fact of the matter, you give me $1,000,000 today and I don't get up tomorrow. Keep your $1,000,000because I'll continue earning. Whether it turns out to be $1,000,000 that I can't see, I still earned $1,000,000.
So to you then, waking up tomorrow is more important than $1,000,000?
Yes.
Okay.
And the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that.
Okay. Does it occur to you then that God gives us more than $1,000,000 every morning?
Of course. That's why I said I get up every day. Ever since I've been working, I guaranteed I've made more than $1,000,000, even though I don't see it.
But so every morning you wake up, do you wake up as if you have $1,000,000thanking God?
No, honestly, every morning it won't feel that way.
Yeah.
It's good to wake up, but you're not going to feel like $1,000,000 every morning. Sometimes you'll feel like $1.
The gift of waking up is more important than any amount you have in your pocket. And
that is true, which is why if he gave me $1 or $1,000,000, because I know who it's coming from. Once again, based on your example, the Lord give you life. If you're able to get up every morning, which one is better, even if it was $1 or $1,000,000? You're
so
able to.
Why I say it's not original is that when I had that thing, it dawned on me that I don't give thanks every morning as I should. When I think about it, what life means to be able to wake up every day.
Right.
Because I said, if I give you $1 million and you wake up tomorrow, you say, keep your $1 million. Which means to you, waking up is worth much more.
Much more.
Much more than no matter how much you give me. Give me $1 billion. Waking up tomorrow is still worth much more. The question for all of us then is that every day we wake up, how much do we value that day that God has given life? What does it mean?
It's a question. Whether you wake up feeling like $1 million or a dollar, doesn't the rest of the day speak for itself?
But you know something? Your perception of the day, how you wake up to the day, is all about you, no matter what the day brings. What you make of the day is what it will be. If you feel like a dollar, or if you feel like $1 million, giving thanks is, it doesn't matter how you feel.
I beg to differ on that one.
Okay, why?
All right.
See, this is why I like the covenant.
Personally,
as an dialogue.
Uh-huh. As an individual,
yes.
The type of work I do, the people I have to deal with. Sometimes I come home, I'm tired, I fall asleep, I wake up tired, so I might feel like a dollar. But I have a son that's a couple months old, he makes me feel like $1 million. So I could get up having a perspective of, oh, work again. And then I can look over at the crib and see my son and say, yay, thank God.
Okay. One question then. Just based on what you said, no matter how you come home, whether you have come home tired and angry, the moment your wife gives you food, do you ever say, I'm not feeling to say thank you for this food?
That's a good question. The answer is, it's kind of, it's strange. I'm trying to be honest. When I come home,
you know she's right there, so you can't lie.
But she don't have to give me food for me to be.
No, if she gives you.
No, but I'm telling you, whether or not she gives me food,
you're what?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
So it's still your perception then?
Yeah, that's, again, my perception.
Yeah.
Knowing the environment or the individuals that
I'm. So what I'm saying then is that environment shouldn't determine whether we thank God or not. Because no matter how you feel, the person who has given you something, it's not about your environment that makes you say thank you or I don't want to thank you for this. If we look at life that way, that the gift of life is a privilege from somebody who can accord us something we don't have. Nobody will call on me to say, ugh. No matter how I feel, my thank you, just a Lord, thank you for today. It's not determined by what anybody sees or anybody has done. It can only be determined by you. Which is my sermon today. How do we give thanks? How do we give thanks? How do we give thanks to God? Yeah, it was a difficult one, right? Because we get life from God every morning, every day is a new opportunity to meet the day. Just as you said, you have an opportunity to make another $1 million yourself. But do we look at life that way? For you, one of the best things in your life now is seeing your son, playing with your son. Nobody can take that from you. No matter how much they say that, oh, I'll give you this, let me take your son. You'll say, keep your money. Because there's something that, there's a joy that you derive. There's something that it gives you pleasure to see what that boy means to you. And it's no different from how we approach the day that God has given. One of the things we have to know in the midst of every day is that we can also meet with the creator of the day. Life. It's a privilege. Health. It's a privilege. Wealth. It's a privilege. Relationships. It's a privilege. Everything that we wake up each day with, it's a privilege from above. Because it's not a guarantee. It's not a promise to anyone. The question for us then is that knowing these things, how do we give thanks to the person who has accorded us that privilege? I remember many years ago now, our brother Debo in this church gave one of his kidneys to his sister. And their mother came to give thanks, giving thanksgiving for the successful surgery. Because the reality of life is that what both of them went through, that woman could have become a woman who had two children gone. And she has her own way of giving thanks. I might not have given thanks that way. Definitely, my brother here would not. Everybody has their own. You know how, how you feel it inside. Yeah, thank you. That's the word. You know how you feel it inside. I remember the day, was it that she knelt down? She prostrated. She came forward and prostrated and rolled in front of God just to give thanks. Everybody has, you know, the way it does you from within to give thanks. Some people, they'll come and say, thank you. But that thank you, it is so much within their hearts. Some people, they will, thank you. They'll go, thank you. Everybody has, but there is a sense of gratitude that comes from inside a person based on what has been bestowed on the person. Now, also, there is a heart that the Bible tells us in the last days, people will develop. That is the heart of ingratitude. And let me show you something in the Bible about what God, how God sees ingratitude. Let's all open our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. Sorry, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. Brother Kimoy, please, can you read it for me too? Second Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2.
You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful.
And ungrateful. What version is that?
New Living Translation.
I love that. Read it again, one more time, please.
Which part?
One and two.
Oh, two wasn't finished. They will consider nothing sacred. Sorry. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred.
Thank you. That is what we are seeing today. They say of the, what's your generation called? X generation or Y or Z? Gen Z. All of you are Gen Z. Oh, there's Gen Alpha now. So the, who is Gen Alpha? Kason is Gen Alpha, I say. But all of you are Gen Zs. Okay. There's, they said something of Gen Zs that you guys are the, they call you the me generation, right? The me generation. That is, everything has to be about you. Yeah. We see it. We see it on TikTok and on, is it Facebook, Instagram? It has to be, you know, once you see the, that is exactly what we're, it's about self. It's about me. But that is what you guys are learning. That such things, when it's always about you, when the whole, you are the center of the universe, everything has to be about, centered about you, God doesn't like it. It's prideful. It's boastful. Another thing is when you add ingratitude to that, not being able to say thank you for anything. Somebody gives you something, you just, you know, don't even look at the person. It's, God doesn't like it. And that is what the Bible talks about the end times. The other one is in Romans. Please read Romans 1, verse 19 to 21. Romans 1, 19 to 21.
They know the truth about God because he is because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God.
Go on.
Yes.
Is that 19 to 21?
Yes. Oh, sorry. No, no, sorry.
Aha.
I missed 21. Yes. They knew God, but they wouldn't worship
him as God.
As God.
Yes.
Or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like.
Mm.
As a result, their mind became dark and confused. Mm.
And this is exactly what we see again. What it's saying in essence is that everything that you see around you, can you look at the sun coming out every day? Can you look at the power of the waves of the ocean? Can you look at the expanse of the universe? Can you look at the depth of the seas and say that there's no God? It will take a lot of faith. Not even faith, I would say it's foolishness. For you to see all these things, you wake up every morning, you see the cells divide by themselves, and yet you say that nobody created these things. That is the heart of the unrighteous. People who, they see the works of God, they see God in action, and it has been written on our DNA, when we see these things, that there is a God. Yet you close your heart and say, there is no God. In the midst of it, you become unthankful people. That is what the Bible says. So God doesn't like, and you see there's this word about giving thanks. Giving thanks. Anytime Paul writes about the churches he's writing to, he'll say, I give thanks to God for you all. Anytime he's going to pray for them, he's going, first of all, going to give thanks and then pray for them. There's something about giving thanks. That is a mystery, that is a principle of the kingdom of God that I'd like us just to take some time to listen to and gain from today. When the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples, he will teach them in plain language. When he preached to the crowd, He will preach in parables. One day, one of the disciples called, some of the disciples, they called him, "Why do you preach to us in plain language? Yet when you preach to the crowd, you preach to them in parables." And he said, unto you, my disciples, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And part of the mysteries of God's kingdom, is to know why does God value giving of thanks so much? Why does God value the giving of thanks so much? And these mysteries of the kingdom, they are progressively made known to everyone that would, you know, wants to learn about God. Not everyone is in the same place about what you want to learn about God. In the Psalms, David said of the children of Israel and of Moses, he said that God made his acts known to the children of Israel. And to Moses, he said he made his what? His ways known. To Moses, he made his ways known. There was a place where Moses actually, when God had been angry with what the children of Israel did, God told Moses, "No, you take them along." At that place, Moses said, "No, God, if you don't go with us, please don't let us go from here." It's in that place that Moses said to God, "God, make me, help me. I want to know your ways." Shortly after that, he said, "God, not only your ways, I want to see your glory." Many Christians, all they see are the acts of God. They don't know the ways of God, not talk less of the glory of God. And that ever-increasing revelation of who God is what God wants us to come to. And these are principles of the kingdom of God, which we have to understand. Why is it important that we give thanks? Let me give you three principles of why it is important that we give thanks. My dear brother, open to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5. Verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5.
Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus.
This is God's what?
Will.
Will, thank you. Sister Maria, it's only said we give thanks when we're happy or when we're satisfied, right? You give thanks all the time. I see. Jemima, you only give thanks when you pass your exams, right? Only when you pass your exams. When you're happy. When you're sad, you don't thank God. Okay. When you stub your foot, you don't thank God. Very true. Very true. Some of us don't. But what we're learning today, which I want you to add to it, is that sometimes when you don't do well on that exam, the Bible says it is the will of God for you to give thanks. We're not all there yet, you know, because when you know that pain that comes when that little toe you have, you hit it against wood, you know. My wife still did that a few days ago. I didn't hear her say, "Oh, God, thank you." Well, she's learning also. Well, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But what the Bible says, in all things, just like Sister Maria said, in all things, Job, he said something, "If I have received good from the hand of the Lord, should I not expect evil?" Which means that it's not that he's saying, "God, give me evil." What he's saying in essence is, life doesn't consist of good alone. So if the good comes. When what we perceive as bad comes, do we say, God, you are no longer God? God, you are no longer God. So in all things, we give thanks to God. Because it is the what? It is the will of God for us. That is one of the principles of the kingdom of God. It is the will of God for every Christian, that in all things we give thanks. If only in the good things alone, when we are happy alone, is the time that we give thanks, then we are what I will call, not the Bible, I call it being a fair weather what? Friend. You know what a fair weather friend is? When he's always good alone. Where I come from, there are many people like that. Where I come from, when it's good and there's money in your pockets, you will have friends. The moment your pockets are empty, you will know that there's something called loneliness. Because all those friends that came when you had, they will not be there when you don't have. And may God not see us as fair weather friends alone. Brother Kimoy, also read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done.
Is that all?
Yeah, verse 6.
The NLC is slightly different. Who has KJV? Please, can you read it? But in everything.
To request be made known unto God.
One more time, please. Be careful for nothing.
But in everything.
In all things. In everything.
By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Thank you. With prayer, with supplication, with what else? With thanksgiving. You see, all these things, they are principles of the kingdom of God. There are many people who the blessing of God that comes from God to them, they only get the blessing once because these principles, they have not yet learned it very well. In all things, with prayer, what is supplication, Sister Shade? Bawale, please, can you say it again? That's it. Simple. Supplication is begging God. It's just begging God. With prayer, with God, please, I need your help. Please, God, do this for me. That is supplication. Also, with thanksgiving. There is a proverb in my language that says, there are two proverbs, actually. One says that the person who knows how to think deeply is the person who knows, will know how to give thanks. And the child that has learned to say thank you for things of yesterday will be the child that will receive many more things tomorrow. It is no different with God. Many people want God's abundance. If you want God's abundance, learn to say thank you for the things you have. Do you know why? When we come before God in prayer, we know how to list the things we want from God. God, I need a job. God, I need a wife. God, I need a husband. God, I need these troubles to go away. But when God has answered, how many of us come to God, those things, and specifically say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. You know, we can list 10 things when we come to God in prayer. We know how to pray for the things we need. But do we know how to thank God individually for the things He has given? And not just say, Lord, for everything you have given, I say, thank you. There's that song that goes, name them. How do you, count your blessings. Thank you. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I wish they had added, count your blessings. Give thanks also one by one. The secret to God's abundance, the secret to God's storehouse is learning to be thankful. The secret to getting more from God is learning to be thankful. That is the first principle. In all things, not just for if it's good with you, you give thanks. In all things, for every situation, learn to give thanks. Number two, Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Brother Kimoy. Psalm 100.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise.
Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Thank you. So when the Bible says enter into his gates with thanksgiving, where are the gates of God? Or what is that picture of enter into his gates with thanksgiving? Sorry? Into his presence. My brother, you've been having some dealings with God, though. Yes, it's his presence. When you come into the presence of God, enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Don't, when you come to God's presence in prayer, or when we start our church, there's a reason why we praise God to start. We don't just come and start saying, God, we list all the things we want. No, there is a protocol to coming before the presence of God. You don't come into the presence of a king. You know, when I was watching the coronation of the king of my country, sorry, my the country where I was born, you know, all the pomp and pageantry that attended the coronation of the king. Bah, 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 bah. Even your head as a king will swell when you hear all those things. An African king, when the African king comes out of his palace, you will see those who would eulogize the king. They will sing different types of things. They will drum before him. Of course, it will make the head of the king swell. It's no different from the King of Kings to the King of Kings. When we come into the presence of God, we should learn how to give thanks to him, praise him, exalt him, extol him, lift up his holy name. You know, I don't know how to teach us these things, but if you read the Psalms, it's full of it. David was somebody who knew how to give thanks, who knew how to praise God. Thanksgiving before God is very important. Because you cannot come before God and expect prayers to be answered without you being a thankful person. You cannot expect God to give you a hearing. You know, you are coming into his courts. You are coming into his presence. And you just want to come and just start listing things before him. It won't happen. It won't happen. There is a protocol. You remember in the book of Esther, if you've ever read the story of Esther, something came upon the Jews in Babylon. And Mordecai went to his ward, the little girl Esther that had now been the wife of the king of Babylon, and said, look, you have to go before the king and ask for this and ask for that. And she said, oh, look, nobody just goes into the presence of the king without being asked into his presence. I said, if you don't go, we will all perish. But if that is it, we'll look for another. God will save us one way or the other. So Esther asked, please, let the whole of my people, let them fast and pray. And when she went into the presence of the king, she knew the protocol. Because the protocol was that if the king did not ask for you, and you came just anyhow into his presence, it was off with his head or off with her head. Except the king now stretched his scepter. Come, let her come. So there's a protocol before coming before earthly kings. How much more the heavenly king? There is a protocol before coming before the King of Kings. You can't just come anyhow and say, God, I need this, I need that, I need that. You come into his courts, into his presence with thanksgiving, into his court with praise. These are principles of the kingdom. If you want your prayers to be answered, if you want more in your life, if you don't want your blessings to be a one-time blessing and want to the storehouse of God to be opened, you know when they preach about tithes and offerings, they say, oh, give unto the Lord and the storehouses of heaven will be opened. That is not the only thing that opens the storehouse of heaven. If you give unto God and you are not thankful for what God has given unto you, the storehouses of heaven will be closed, no matter how much you bring again. Because there's a place of giving thanks that God loves. So, one, learn to give thanks because it is the will of God for every Christian to give thanks in every situation, in everything, no matter what you are going through. Two, learn to give thanks because this is what opens the gates of heaven, the gates of God's presence for you to come into his presence. The heir of the King of Kings will be attentive to you as you give thanks unto him. The third thing is a question I'll ask. When we come, and we've talked about it before, how do we give thanks? When we pray and God answers our prayers, and we know that God has answered a prayer, do we just say, well, God, thank you? When we come before God and list 10 things, do we just say, well, God, thank you for everything? Are we deliberate about giving thanks? How do we give thanks? What is our heart's posture, our body posture, when we give thanks to God? Grateful. But the gratitude, there has to be something, like my brother said, you know, when something is sweet inside of you, that, it comes out. It comes out. I know when, you know, Kimoy and I are very different. He's very even keel. I am up and down. So Brother Babs, give me something. You know, Kimoy, I say, Dr. Babs, thank you. And it means it from deep down. Dr. Babs! You know, so we are all different. But there's that thing from inside. God knows. Because we can't fake it before him. We can't fake it before him. God knows whether there is true gratitude inside our hearts and how that gratitude is expressed. Let me tell you something. You see, if somebody comes to you and they know how to give thanks, you will feel indebted to the person to give more. You will feel like, this person appreciates what I did. I want to do more for that person. It's the same with our God. If you know how, you know, to show your gratitude, our God is a God of abundance. You know, I always remind myself and I tell people something. The Bible says that when you ask God for something, God is able to give you abundantly. How does the Bible put it? Exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or desire or think. He gives exceedingly, abundantly, above what we ask him or what we can imagine, what we think. So God is, he's ready, he's willing. But are our hearts of gratitude, real and true gratitude, genuine gratitude? Do we come with the protocol of coming before the King of Kings? When I come before my Father, I go, so you know, when the Bible talks about worship, when we're reading about Moses, when I was talking about Moses, there was a time he went out into the tabernacle of the congregation to meet with God. And the Bible says that the cloud, the pillar of cloud, came and covered that tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, God was speaking to Moses mouth to mouth as a friend speaks to a friend. God hasn't done that and with anybody in the Bible. I said, as Moses was going out, all the people of Israel, they were in front of their tents. And as they saw the pillar of cloud coming down, the Bible says that they worshiped God. You see, when you see that word, they worship God. It's not just, oh, God, thank you, thank you. No. What that word means, worship God, is they, when some of them will go prostrate on the floor, lying before God, some of them will bow their head to the ground to say, God, you are mighty, you are majestic. That is what it means to worship God. When the Bible talks about and somebody coming before an angel, I think it was in Revelation that John, when he wanted to worship an angel said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant just like you. That worship, what John most likely would have done was to go on his head to bow before the angel. So please, you know, that's more than thing. Gen Zs, you guys do it. When you see somebody who is very good at something, and you want to do this to the person, don't do it. The only person worthy of such is the King of Kings. Never give worship to any man. You might not know it, but that going down before somebody is a form of worship. No man is worthy of worship. And we as Christians, we should learn what it means when we come before God to worship and reverence God. We don't, you know, you can't come before God and want to pray and be chewing gum with your, you know, God, come before you today, you know. No, there's a protocol with meeting the King of Kings. You can't come before him anyhow. Yes, Sister Jack. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that culture, even my culture, we prostrate, but we don't worship. We don't bow down. There is something. Okay, let me tell you the difference. It's a heart thing. There's a difference between a greeting in prostrating and a heart of coming to worship. Sometimes the posture might be nearly the same. But the heart is what is in your heart. Do you go before the person? Look, in my culture, I can say, good morning, daddy, and do that. I'm not worshiping daddy. But I can go, daddy, I worship you. Yes, my sister.
In defense of Gen Z.
Yes.
I'm sure it's not worshiping.
Okay.
They are too self something to be worshiping just because. I think, honestly, it's what, just like Sister Jackie said, you do a posture, and for different cultures, it means different things.
Yeah.
I think for the generation, they're just saying kudos, essentially.
Okay. Well, Gen Z, if you say kudos, it's fine. But please, don't worship any man. That's all I'm saying. You know? Let's be careful about who we adore. There's one Gen Z that I can tell you, which is worship, no matter what you tell me. You know, when very, very famous artists come and they bow down, they start weeping. Some of them will take off their shirts to, it's worship. It's worship. Because, yes, ma'am. It's not
actually. Generation did that with the Beatles.
That's true. Yeah. Yes, there are some kings that they work, but it's when
I'm
you become.
Yes. For those who are not, I said in my culture where I grew up.
Even Sister Maria said that.
There's a popular, well, not popular, the king of Ife, I'm saying that I went to that palace a lot as a child, and the king is worshipped, you know.
True.
No matter how you shake it, bake it, is worshipping.
Very true. Very true. But when you come to the reality of what you are doing, there's somewhere where you say, I will not. Because it's you cannot worship a man in place of the King of Kings. You know, but there was a place where I remember quite well. It was the leper Naaman. Was that his name? Naaman. Where after he was healed, Elisha, he asked that, look, please, because of my duties, I might still need to do these things that is not, he was bowed to the king or to a god. When the king?
When I help the king, when they go to the temple of the, yes, and the king leans on me when he's bound to his god, so I might have to go down.
Right.
That the God who's healed me should not be angry.
So in that, God knows his heart. That what he desires is not to worship. But because of the duty, he might have to, because he was like the right-hand man of the king, his posture might be bowing to that God, but he's not, in his heart, he's not worshiping that God. So, brothers and sisters, let us learn. On Thursday, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, right? Let our Thanksgiving be an everyday thing. Not a once a year thing. Not a once a month thing. Each day that you are given to be alive, it is a privilege and it's a great blessing. You only need to go to the hospital once to learn to give thanks unto God for life itself. Only once, my brothers and sisters. If you've ever seen a person carrying an oxygen lung tank to breathe, you have? Oh, you walk it. Then you will know very well. Wow.
I see families crying because they're losing loved ones. Thank you. And even the people that I work with, you know, some of them still struggling of what we go through, what we see. Mm-hmm. And I see really actually death almost every day and sickness. So that's my perspective when you ask me that question that I give. As soon as I open my eyes, I say, Father, thank you for waking me up this morning, because I see it every day, 12 hours. Wow. So. Yeah, even the things I don't like, you know, it takes me some time. But then I say, Father, thank you. Because still your will. So, yeah. So I experience it every day, every day, every day.
Family, let's get up and just give some time. Spend some time just to give God thanks. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about what God has answered, prayers God has answered. Think about even the salvation we have received, that we can be here listening to the words of God, to the truth of the word, to be people who can be grateful unto him. Each day that we are awake for another day, it's worth more than $1 million. Can you think about that? No matter how much money anybody will give you, the gift of life for another day is worth more than all the money in the world. And yet, God blesses us with day after day after day after day. Give thanks to God for healing in our mortal bodies. Some of us have survived sicknesses, diseases that could have killed us. We know people around us who have survived accidents, fire, disasters that would otherwise have wiped out other people. God, for eyes to see that we have, we can taste our food, that we have food on our tables, we have family, loved ones around us, that we have a church family. Thank God for the blessings of God. It makes rich and adds no sorrow. Truly, everything we have in life is relative. For some, your second hand might be the best other people will have in life. Thank God for the heart of gratitude, of the heart of contentment, of what God has given, of eyes to know the truth. There are many who are still blinded, who live in sin and yet do not know. There are many who are on their way to hell, but God has given you life to knowing him. There are many who they bow down daily to gods that are carved with wood. Their gods cannot save them. Yet we serve a living God. Let's just give thanks to God. He's worthy. He's worthy. Father, thank you for your words today. Thank you for what we have learned. It is your will for us that we give thanks. In all things that we give thanks, it is your will for us, O Lord. We pray that this will be sung deep in our hearts today, that we'll be people who know how to give thanks, that our posture of thanksgiving will not be flippant in any way, that the protocol of coming into your presence, we will never bypass it of coming anyhow into your presence, but we'll learn to give thanks and to praise you. Father, for all these things that we have learned today, let it become part of our lives, O God, that we acknowledge each day as a gift from above, and appropriately we thank you for it. Lord, we know that it's hard many times, and we acknowledge it, Lord, when things are not going too well, when there's illness racking our bodies, to give thanks. But in this, please teach us, because we know that there's still ways for us to learn in your dealings with us, O Lord, that we come to the place where in all things, whether it is good, whether we consider it bad, whether we are happy, whether we are sad, no matter what situation we are in life, to learn to say, Lord, even for this, I give thanks. May your name, our God, eternally be exalted. For you, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, be high and holy forevermore, lifted up. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your words. We pray and give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving week, everyone. God bless you.